Hey, good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN, a Thursday morning show. We've got Dr. Timothy Schaefer with us here this morning. He is the Associate Professor in the Department of Communications, Director of the Institute for Civic Discourse and Democracy. He joins us here for the first half of the hour. Later in the program, we'll hear from Robin Cole, Pawnee Mental Health. Dr. Schaefer, good morning. It's nice to see you.
Yeah, good morning. It's good to be with you, too.
And we are going to tackle something that we only have a half hour here, so we won't tackle the entire issue here of critical race theory. But I thought it would be a good discussion here this morning because it is such a hot topic, not only nationally, but even here locally, with what we've seen in the USD 33 school board meetings here the last month or month and a half. Critical race theory examines social, cultural, and legal issues as they relate to race and racism. Seeking to challenge mainstream liberal approaches to racial justice. At least that's what they tell us online. And Dr. Schaefer, I might just have you give us a little bit of background on this whole concept and maybe why it's so in the news here today.
Yeah, well, first, thanks for having me. It's always good to be with you. And for those who call, I always appreciate the conversation. And I imagine today will be one of those that potentially has folks chiming in, which is good, I think, and helpful and appropriate. But, you know, and the other thing, just to kind of say in a qualifying sort of way, you know, I'm an academic, I'm a professor. I study lots of things intersecting with these themes. There are some who really much more pointedly and in a focused sort of way engage very explicitly things like, say, critical race theory or critical theory, which I can also talk about since they're the same kinds of words. So I just want to acknowledge that first, because I don't want to kind of step out of bounds, out of my lane, so to speak. But there is a place where I think, you know, especially now, and someone who focuses on how people talk to each other in public spaces and how do we wrestle with contentious issues, this is such a natural thing for us to be thinking about. So, you know, maybe the first thing to step into some of the critical race theory is kind of to think about it a little bit larger, right? You know, we've had a lot of discussions around race locally as well as nationally. You know, even if you look back the last year or so, we've had kind of a sense of familiarity when we say certain names like George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. You know, we have to go back a little bit to think about Eric Garner selling cigarettes in Staten Island and Michael Brown, in whose death in Ferguson kind of led to that unrest there in St. Louis, or even back to Tamir Rice, right, of playing with a toy gun in a park. So we've had kind of a building up of sorts and kind of in our cultural memory talking about race, but have always done some interesting kind of navigation around it because it often intersected with other things. But race is central, one of the central themes of kind of American life, both historically and today. And in fact, there's a research project, an international research project looking at every country for at least the last 100 years, some of them going back all the way to 1789, so the beginnings of the US. And the United States, for example, gets broken up, our American democracy is broken up into kind of three categories. First, from the founding to the Civil War, then from Reconstruction to the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and then to present. And all of those are infused with kind of race as one of the core elements. And so I say all this because the way in which the kind of critical race theory seemingly has kind of blown up is both surprising and absolutely what you would expect, right? Our kind of awareness over the last number of years, the last decade or so, around things like housing, criminal justice, the kind of legacy of the enslavement of Black Americans, for example, has come to a point to where things like critical race theory become really, I think, both significant and important, and also really muddied and complicated, because once it kind of gets put into the public discourse in a way that we're experiencing right now, it turns into a bunch of different things. And so, you know, really, what is this anyway? It's, as you were saying at the top of the show here, it's an academic concept. It's more than 40 years old. It's really around the idea that racism is a social construct, right? And it's not merely the product of kind of individual bias or prejudice, but something that's really built in and embedded in legal systems and policies, which is where at its origins, it really comes out of legal analysis created by a handful of legal scholars, names like Derrick Bell, Kimberly Crenshaw, and others who really wanted to look at this question of lawmaking and how do we, and not just lawmaking, but kind of legal studies, I should say more specifically, and how do we think about those kinds of policies playing out and shaping people's lives, not just those who are being negatively affected by it, but those who are just part of this larger system. What's going on right now, and there's more to unpack here, but what's going on right now is that this is becoming somewhat of a shorthand of how we talk about almost anything discussing things like race or diversity or even concepts like equity and inclusion, or equality, right? So this is where there's a lot more to unpack about this, maybe in conversation, if people kind of call in with comments, but you know, among lawyers and others, like this is where critical race theory becomes kind of articulated in its best ways. And maybe if I have just a moment, unless you want to pause me for a second, like let me give a really tangible example that might help make this more apparent. So a really good example is something that I'm fascinated by, and it's from the 1930s when the government literally kind of drew lines around areas that were determined to be kind of poor financial risks. So that was often due to kind of racial composition of inhabitants. So banks subsequently refusing mortgages to certain people, to Black people in those areas. And so the phrase redlining is a term that came up literally from the colors on a map that was used to say, we will give these people mortgages and we're not going to give these other people mortgages. There's lots of good writing around this, but we see it, and that just gets infused in kind of, there's a really good book just from the recent past called The Color of Law by Rothstein, who talks about kind of local, state, and federal housing policies that basically mandated segregation, right? So the emergence of the suburban kind of community, that kind of life, and why we talk about kind of the urban kind of ghettoization in certain ways was not just happenstance. It becomes something that is written into policy and practice. And so critical race theory would look at something like that. And we have some really good examples of it here relatively locally. In Kansas City, there's something called Dividing Lines. It's a 90-minute tour. You can listen to it, and it uses kind of geolocation. So it will walk you from, or you can drive actually, from place to place, and it will talk about it, of how we think about these things. And so critical race theory looks at an issue, the issue of race and its implications through these kind of legalistic lenses. That's different than just saying, I don't want to talk, or I don't want to, or I don't think we should engage in questions about kind of race or difference in things. And so that's where it gets really kind of muddy in a significant way, that it becomes a shorthand for something larger, but it actually means something more focused, but it doesn't actually get talked about that way.
You know, I think there's a lot of, maybe, I don't know if fear is the right word, but people don't like to bring up, especially the people in the majority, any conversations on racism. It's uncomfortable. They don't like to talk about it. And I'm wondering if that's maybe rooted in some of the critics of critical race theory.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely uncomfortable. I'll speak for myself, right? I'm a white man. I by no means came from significant means. My father didn't go to college, a police officer. My mom did. She was a nurse. But we grew up in kind of rural, poor Appalachia, right? By definition, we're in a space where, you know, my mother didn't have running water for her childhood, entire young life. And so I think about that. And even in those moments when I experience kind of the discrepancies of how people experience life for all sorts of reasons, it is uncomfortable, right? It's really challenging that one of my really great friends in graduate school is a Black man, and he would talk about the challenges of, at that time, right, highly educated, an amazing person, very kind, just across the board, a wonderful person, but just always wrestling with or confronting, especially in certain areas, people who looked at him kind of classifying in certain ways. And I think being able to unpack where that comes from is really important. Why we have that kind of dynamic that plays out for all sorts of people is frankly, is uncomfortable, but that doesn't mean we don't have to kind of step into it or explore what that means or why, especially in communities that don't have amazingly rich kind of diverse populations. Before I lived here in Manhattan, Kansas, we lived in New York City. And it was one of the things we thought about a lot was how radically different it would be for our kids, for example, to grow up in the Little Apple rather than the Big Apple, right? On subways with literally sitting beside a Hasidic Jew, immigrants of all sorts of types, and just you've got the whole spectrum on the Wall Street banker. You've got the whole mix, and you see and experience it. So it's one of those things that plays out right now that it can be sometimes more of a slight scare tactic, I think, unfortunately, rather than really honestly engaging in some of the questions. But as we said earlier, a lot of critical race theory really is rooted in the sense of discrepancies of why do we do certain things based off of race. And this is when you hear the phrase systemic, right? That's what we mean, right? Systemic racism doesn't mean that you are racist or I am, but the larger kind of culture, the system, systemic, is shaped by particular kind of views. And so being able to think about that, I mean, there was even just a report yesterday about kind of the discrepancies of decisions made in courts of law, right? Somebody can do one thing, happens to be a certain race or gender, and if we compare them with someone who is not, we can find some really wild differences. And asking, well, why, is a really important question. And I think that's a lot of where these discussions are going toward. Critical race theory is not something, I'll say this, I have a PhD, I have 4 degrees. Critical race theory is something that I only understand a bit, and I'm very intentionally trying to read much more about it. There are some classic texts about it, there's much more work recently, but it's really complicated, right? So if somebody's sitting in USD 383's space for school board meetings or anywhere else around the country and saying they have some real problems with CRT, my hunch is that they don't, because they don't actually, and I'm not saying this in a condescending way, they don't actually know what they're talking about, because often I don't when it comes to critical race theory either.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because it's just trying to report on this whole topic, you're hearing things on the left here, things on the right, and you're just trying to get an answer of, well, what is the actual thing here that we're talking about? And I feel like that's kind of getting overlooked quite a bit.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a really good, just recently NBC News did this kind of interesting history of where this comes from as it relates to school boards. And maybe somewhat unsurprisingly, there were some instances where things like diversity, equity, inclusion, some efforts at the school board level are happening. And there's been a reaction, right? Parents and others who are saying, we don't want to have our children kind of talking about these things in these ways, either for perception or reality. It's not it's not exactly clear, but there's some well-documented cases. One organization called No Left Turn in Education, right, was this really small, this woman starts this, happens to get onto Tucker Carlson's show. And the next day, a Facebook page goes from less than 200 followers to over 30,000, right? And now there's 30 chapters in 23 states. And so when we think about this kind of rapid expansion of why all of a sudden it seems like everybody's talking about critical race theory, is because it's been kind of amplified and it's turned into, I think, unfortunately, kind of one of our for this moment, a culture war kind of topic. I think the real dilemma here is missing the opportunity to really have the more kind of candid and, as you said, uncomfortable conversation around race, right? What does this mean? How do we think about this as it shapes our world, as we're continuing to ever change? And that's one of the uncomfortable, I think, realities for a lot of folks, is that, life is not what it was 10 years ago, let alone 50 years ago. And what does that mean? But even here, I mean, thinking about Manhattan and the local community, I'm thinking about, we're just about to open up a new school named Oliver Brown, right? So when we think about Brown v. Board, when we think about questions of and issues of race in education, for example, we have very close to home, go over to Topeka if you want, right? And learn more about kind of the dynamics of how we historically have wrestled with some of these kinds of questions, and what are the lingering effects of it today? This is one of those topics. It's not easy. It's not one that makes you necessarily feel good, but that doesn't mean we step away from it. And I think that's where learning opportunities, not just in classrooms, but in lots of other spaces, it becomes really important that we, you know, when we think about some of these protests right now that, you know, about critical race theory, overwhelmingly, I'm assuming people aren't actually protesting critical race theory. They're protesting this kind of structural racism, you know, in a bigger sense. And they don't necessarily, understand the nuances, because as I said, like there's a lot to it. It's a very specific, it's, you know, legal concepts and theories. So it's this kind of spurious conversation, which I think is a real unfortunate thing, because race is such an important discussion for us to have today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's take a break, and we'll come back more with Dr. Schaefer after this here on News Radio KMAN.